and welcome to another episode of the Legalize Vaping Podcast. I'm Brian Marlowe, the campaign director for, funnily enough, Legalize Vaping Australia. Joining me today is Dr. Joe Kosterich. Most of you in the vaping world will know Joe rather well from his work alongside Dr. Colin Mendelsohn with AHTHRA. Joe is also a practicing GP over in Western Australia, and Joe and I have worked together quite closely on numerous vaping issues. And both actually presented at an inquiry over in WA. So, Joe, thanks for joining the podcast.
Oh, lovely to be with you, Brian.
So, I guess before we get started, there's a lot of people in the vaping world that will know you all too well, and I'm sure there's people over in Western Australia who've seen you present on the nightly news on a number of issues, not just limited to vaping. But for those who might not be as aware, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and sort of how you got into the vaping world and decided to get involved with AHTHRA and help with the push to legalise vaping in Australia?
I'll try and cut a long story short, Brian. I'm a GP, been a GP in Perth for 30-odd years. I've also been involved in a number of different health-related businesses, and I do consultancies to a number of health-related businesses, both in the management and running of medical centres in the medicinal cannabis space with Little Green Pharma, and as you mentioned, do some work in the media with 6PR in Perth and some other channels, and also on TV. The vaping interest, I suppose, was first piqued by patients coming in telling me they'd stopped smoking by using vaping, and I think this goes back 5 or 6 years or so ago. And my initial response was, well, what have you been doing? And, they explained it and how it was supported in the UK and other jurisdictions. And it was around that time that there was a case in Perth of a vendor who was fined a significant amount of money by the health department for selling vape products. And I remember having discussion on air with gentleman Paul Murray, not the guy who's on Sky News, same name, but is running a radio program in Perth. He's former editor of the West Australian newspaper, who'd also researched this a little bit. And, it basically struck me that here is something that reduces harm from smoking, and yet you can go into pretty much any supermarket, any petrol station, any, corner store, and if you're over the age of 18, legally buy cigarettes, and really pretty much no questions asked. In fact, no questions asked. And yet here was something which is, far less harmful, which we were making it difficult for people to access. And this just struck me as making no sense. And look, I spoke a little bit about it in the media when asked, wrote some articles on it subsequently in 2018 through, I suppose, Brian, our mutual friend and associate Tim Andrews, was introduced to Colin Mendelsohn and Alex Wodak, who are also working in this space. Alex comes from the harm reduction background, Colin really from the tobacco, from the quit smoking background. And I was asked by them would I, come on board with this new organisation they were starting, and that was sort of, 2 and a bit years ago now. That was the beginning of AHTHRA, and away we went.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly time sort of goes. I mean, when we started out with our campaign in Vape Force One in the bus, that feels like maybe a year ago, but it's 2.5 years ago that we did that. And that's when I first actually met Colin as well. He came out to our campaign launch and sort of went from there. So it's amazing how quickly it progresses. Since then, we've worked pretty closely on numerous issues in the vaping space. Including the inquiry into personal choice and community safety, also known as the Nanny State Inquiry, that was chaired over in WA. Good to see that the final report on that came back in favour of vaping legalisation, or a majority decision, to say the least. That was something that you sort of presented on. Did you find that you got much pushback when you were sort of presenting on that kind of issue? I know that a couple of people on the inquiry were pushing back, but what are some of the sort of obstacles that you guys have faced within AHTHRA, or even at a personal level, trying to push for this issue? I assume you probably get painted with that, oh, you're just a shill for Big Tobacco brush or something like that.
That's pretty much it. Big Tobacco shrill, in the pocket of somebody. You don't know the science. I mean, there's there's a whole host of abuse that gets thrown at anybody who questions the the conventional wisdom. Look, in terms of the parliamentary committee, look, in fairness to them, their job is to ask questions and arguably difficult questions, but they don't necessarily know the first thing about it, and their role is to inquire. So, look, I didn't particularly feel that any of the questions asked were unfair or unreasonable. The, as you quite rightly say, the majority report supported legalising vaping, the minority, and it does appear to have split a little bit along party lines. The two party members of the committee essentially had a minority view, which is the standard health department line of we need more research and we need a precautionary principle. Vaping's been around since the early 2000s. It was not invented by Big Tobacco. It is not the Big Tobacco conspiracy. Yes, tobacco companies have moved into the space because they see their markets are shrinking and they see this is an area where people may be moving to. So that doesn't make it a plot. That just makes it a business decision. But there's significant work being done, especially in the UK. And they are strong supporters of vaping as tobacco harm reduction to the extent that they run campaigns publicly encouraging people to switch to vaping. New Zealand is now going down a similar path to the UK, not only in legalising it, but actively promoting it. Now, either in America, in the EU, in Japan, in Scandinavia, in the US, variably, either vaping or other non-combustible tobacco forms of nicotine are legal and or promoted / supported to differing degrees. So either Australia is just so super smart that we know something that all of the rest of the world hasn't figured out, or maybe the fact that in most of the rest of the world, smoking rates are declining faster than they are in Australia, and that's despite Australia having the highest per stick cigarette prices and plain packaging. Maybe we're not as clever as we think we are. But unfortunately, there's a lot of ideology behind this. And when people sort of say, this is all to do with science, I'm a little bit questioning of that when you actually look at the scientific evidence.
Yeah, and you sort of spoke about the committee report appearing to form sort of a long political divide. It's actually quite unfortunate to see because, we've surveyed vapers that have signed up to our campaign. Most of them are working class people, and they tend to actually be Labor voters. So for the WA inquiry, it was the two Labor MLCs that said that vaping should not be legalised and that the current approach should be kept. And it's a bit of an unfortunate thing to see because I don't think they're actually representing the interests of their voter base, and I'm not sure if they're actually aware of that, but maybe that's a discussion for another day. I don't want to glaze over our subscribers with talk of politics. On the big tobacco question, though, can you give you gave a brief timeline of sort of how vaping started, because this is the main pushback you get from people that aren't engaged with vaping. Vaping is, and let's be honest, it's a fringe issue for a lot of people. At best, they've seen someone vape or they sort of know about it. And then they see an article that says, well, vaping's just being pushed by, Philip Morris or Altria or BAT or something like that, and that it's all just a big tobacco ploy. I know that Athra's sort of done some work to really explain this. Is that something you could elaborate on a little bit further?
Look, it is certainly the case that the big tobacco companies have seen, where the future is going in terms of nicotine use. And nicotine is not of itself a particularly harmful or dangerous compound. It is not nicotine that causes lung cancer, for example. It is not nicotine that leads to chronic airways disease. There are a whole host of other chemicals released when one burns or combusts tobacco. I suppose the arguments about it being a big tobacco conspiracy are pretty much, they've got nothing, they really haven't, the opponents haven't got much else to point to. They can't actually point to studies that show that vaping is as harmful as smoking because there aren't any. Now, interestingly, there was a study out, I think it was last year, and it ended up having to be retracted because the lead writer, one of the writers who is a known, I don't want to give any names, a known opponent of vaping, and said, oh, there was higher rates of heart attacks in the group that was vaping, except it really turned out that these heart attacks occurred before any of those people had actually ever vaped. So this is the sort of level that it gets to.
So essentially what we've found then is that vaping allows you to travel back in time and have a heart attack.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's, you know, okay. Amazing stuff, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, we found the secret to time travel. Take up a vape. And it's on that sort of, you know, with the anti-vapers, and they make these ludicrous claims. And they put them out there, and they probably get published in some random journal somewhere. And it's only after the fact, when much smaller pro-vaping organizations push back and get clarification, that anything changes. But these people never really have to explain why they cherry-picked data or why they made a claim that is demonstrably false.
No, that's a really good point, Brian. Some of these people in public health, and a lot of them, surprising number, have no medical background or qualification. Some do, but a lot don't. But because they have the tag professor, or because they speak from, you know, variably some sort of health-related charity or health-related group or government department, what they say is sort of taken as gospel. And anybody who does seek to question them, you know, can expect to be attacked not on the basis of the argument that's being made, but, you know, some personal accusation. And then we've seen that quite a bit. It's a highly emotionally charged area. But one thing I do really want to say, and this is important, the tobacco industry has, you know, it comes with a lot of baggage. It's got a dreadful past, and it is, you know, the case that in the 60s, when it first emerged that smoking combustible tobacco was associated with a number of different diseases, attempts were made to, I suppose, you know, cover that up. And a lot of the people who are still in the tobacco control space haven't forgotten some of those early wars. But you know what? 80 years ago, we were at war with Germany and Japan. We're not at war with them anymore. Yes. And, you know, I think some of these people who are still going on the big tobacco line, and look, I'm no apologist or friend of the tobacco industry. I think they really have a legacy that, you know, nobody would want. However, if anybody who was part of the problem can become part of the solution, then we really have to look at it on that basis, not what they might have done 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, we go to war with countries, we then make peace and see how we can work collaboratively. You know, this is a similar situation, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's something that really needs to be highlighted, which is, it's a very easy brush to tar people with, which is, oh, well, you're just doing the bidding of tobacco companies or insert special interests. And, you know, I've heard that from MPs, which is, oh, well, you know, our concern is that tobacco companies are trying to get into the vaping scene and that it'll benefit them. To which my response is, okay, but do you agree that vaping is less harmful? Well, yes, I do. All right, so you agree that it's less harmful, and you know that the products that tobacco companies currently sell kill 2 in 3 long-term users or 52 Australians every day. Yes. So your qualm is that a company that we all don't really like is producing a product that doesn't kill people, and your issue is that someone somewhere might make money. And when you outline it like that to them, they can't actually come up with a response. But that's, you know, in a face-to-face meeting with a politician. But we have to combat against anti-vapers that are answerable to no one, who often work in a bureaucracy that has no oversight. But, you know, it's part of the campaign, and it's part of the push forward. And it's funny, because we are slowly winning, and we are winning the debate, and sure, there's always concerted pushbacks, but for me personally, I'm quite optimistic that we will get this across the line. And on that, I guess I wanted to ask, what do you see as the future of vaping in Australia, and do you think that there's a timeline of where we might be? Do you think there's a timeline on maybe where we can get to legalization or anything like that?
Yeah, really good question, Brian. And your point about the politicians is a valid one. And the ability of certain elements just to sort of throw out big tobacco as a really, it's the laziest of arguments and comebacks. It's got no intellectual rigor to it whatsoever. But it's life.
Is what it is.
The other thing which was really interesting, which you said, which sort of struck me, is 52 deaths per day. So far in this country, I think we've had 102 deaths from coronavirus, and yet we have 52 deaths per day from diseases associated with smoking. And you look at the lengths that government has gone to stop people dying from coronavirus, and you look at the lengths that some people in health go to stop people switching to a less harmful alternative to smoking. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's sort of Alice in Wonderland stuff almost. Might not be the best analogy. Look, we will get there, and I share your optimism, but something will happen out of left field, and I don't know where or when. Because if you look at it at the moment, it'd be very difficult to get up. The current health minister has stated implicitly that it won't happen on his watch. Well, look, he won't be on the watch for forever. There is support within the government side, and as you say, quietly, even in the opposition, there is support. And your point is valid. I mean, we know that smoking rates are far higher in lower socioeconomic groups, and particularly high in Indigenous communities, amongst those with mental health problems, as much as 80%, single mothers, the homeless, prison populations. We're not talking about people who are living in the leafy suburbs or the latte strips of the capital cities. So you would think that progressive parties would be the most on board with something to help those people. But again, politics isn't always a logical pursuit. Eventually, right and truth does win out. And the truth is that vaping is at least 95% less harmful than smoking. Now, somebody who does not smoke should not take up vaping nicotine. Again, let me be
Yeah,
very
that's
clear
correct.
about that. That's a really important point. You could argue there's a lot of things that people shouldn't do that they do anyway. But certainly for people who don't smoke, they should not be taking it up. If children or teenagers, perhaps more correctly, are going to experiment, and they will, and they'll experiment with all sorts of substances, then they also shouldn't be experimenting with vaping. But if you said, is it better for them to do that than to smoke, then the answer to that one is also yes. That's not saying that teenagers should vape, but it is saying that even for them, it's a less harmful option than smoking, and arguably a lot less harmful than some other substances that the teenagers may well experiment with. So eventually, given the international experience that we had, and especially closer to home with what's going on in New Zealand, I mean, New Zealand doesn't get everything right, but neither do we. On this one, they have, and sometimes we will look across the Tasman and think, well, they're actually getting somewhere and we're not, and we will see significant reductions in smoking rates in New Zealand over the next 5 years. In Australia, if we don't legalise vaping, will not see those improvements. And at some point, political pressure may well build for the changes to be made. But the problem is that vapers are a small group. They're not a noisy group. There's not a lot of political lobbying on their behalf. And the squeaky wheel does get the oil. There are a lot of health issues that get a lot more attention and a lot more, I suppose, publicity and a lot more money thrown at them than smoking-related illnesses, because they're arguably better organised and lobby more effectively.
Yeah, and I think that probably segues to my final question before we wrap, which is, yeah, the squeaky wheel does attract the most oil. So what would you say to those in the vaping community that want to have their voice heard, and vape vendors that want to sell these products within a regulatory environment that actually makes sense? How should they get involved? What can they do to further this cause and be that squeaky wheel that actually gets the attention that's needed?
I remember being told years ago by a medical colleague who'd gone into to Parliament that federal politicians, and I suspect state will be the same, if they get three or four contacts from constituents about the same issue, then they regard that as an important issue because most people don't contact their member of Parliament. So for all the people out there vaping, those in the vaping space, be it vendors, vapers, contact your state and federal member of parliament, federal in particular, but do both, and you know, get your friends to do it as well. The more the politicians hear from constituents that it is an issue of importance to them, the more likely they are to act. Look, if people can, you know, get on board and support, you know, ATRA, we've got plenty of resources there to help people as well. Support the legalised vaping campaign. You and Brian, you've done a fantastic job with what you're doing. You know, write letters to the newspaper. I know it's a bit retro, but it doesn't hurt. But really, it is about contacting members of parliament and getting lots of people to do it so that MPs see this is a real issue of concern to constituents.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that, I think we will wrap. Joe, thank you so much for joining the podcast. It is a new sort of little endeavour for us, but the aim is to get it out to the vaping community and let them, you know, consume more content and ultimately get more engaged. And, you know, as we wrap, that was Dr. Joe Kosterich, who is an actual medical practicing doctor and has put in a lot of the hard yards with ATHRA. If you want to support ATHRA, you can go to their website. It's athra.org.au. And as always, if you want to support the Legalise Vaping campaign, just go to legalisevaping.com.au and get involved. Thank you so much, Joe.
Very welcome, Brian.